Mount Rushmore of ECW. Who wants to go first?
Now that's four, right?
Mount
Rushmore?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll try it. All right. So I'm going to go with Raven.
Okay.
I'm going to go with, this is a really hard one because my guys back in the day. So I'll say Sandman,
okay.
Raven. And then I have problems with, I want to put in either Tajiri, Super Crazy, or Rey Mysterio. But I'm going to take all three of those guys out. I'm going to put in RVD.
Okay.
And then Mike Awesome.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah. Yep.
Jay Hawk, what do you got?
Yeah.
It's hard to narrow it down to four. But I think I've gotta go Sabu.
Okay.
Tommy Dreamer.
Mm-hmm.
Rob Van Dam.
Okay.
And the fourth one I've gone back and forth between a few different people on. Sandman make gunk in that spot, Raven make gunk in that spot. I gotta kinda go with Tad though. Without Cabu, you don't have Tag. Without Tag, you don't have Cabu. So
I'm just really shocked that you guys, neither of you, decided to put in Shane Douglas, who, without Shane Douglas throwing down the NWA title, we wouldn't have ECW. We wouldn't have Extreme Championship Wrestling. So I got to go Shane Douglas. I got to go Terry Funk.
Hard to argue.
I got to go Sabu. And I think I'm going to go, you know, you guys have made a real argument for me. I think RVD, honestly, is in that spot, too. Like
he's got to be.
I posted like on through our IW guide page like one version of it, and then I know like some people were like, well, mine has to have Taz on it, and I'm like, I can totally see that. That's very fair, because I put Raven in, and I you know, I had some other stuff, but yeah, I gotta go Shane Douglas, Terry Funk, RVD, and Sabu. I think that's my four.
It's really hard. There are so many guys who I would say belong, like, even just because if you just want to do four is really hard. Like there's so many guys who built everything that we talk about today. Like, how can you leave off Taz? I don't know. I like Sandman better. How can you leave off Sabu? I don't know. I like RVD. How do I leave off Ray or Little Guido or any of those guys? Well, right. I really love Mike Awesome.
Right. So, yeah.
Yeah. I can kind of see leaving Ray off if he was only there, what, 6 months, 9 months?
Yeah, but did anybody do more for Lucha to bring Lucha Libre into this country than him and Psychosis? That match they ran all over the place. Was that match not the greatest Lucha Libre match ever?
Which is also a great argument to put him in. I'm not saying that.
Right, right. Yeah, but I'm saying
I had to include the original three in the original triple threat match. So.
Yeah, that was, again, like Shane Douglas, Terry Funk being in there, can't argue that.
Who was the third in that match? What was the original triple threat?
Shane Douglas, Terry Funk, and Sabu.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, because Terry Funk's the only one that went the full hour, I believe, right? No, Shane Douglas is the only one that went the full hour. Terry Funk did a half, and Sabu did a half, the way they split it up. But Shane Douglas was supposed to be their Iron Man, so he actually went the full hour. So
what about,
it was,
what about, what's his fate? What about, like, a Public Enemy? Who was?
Or what about the Dudleys? I mean, some people, that was their whole thing was the Dudleys. Big Dick Dudley, Bubba, Devon, all them.
That's why Mount Rushmore for a company that wasn't around that long is hard to do because there were so many guys who made it what it is that all I'm doing is picking my four favorites.
Have to do the PVD rule where you have to remove one of them and put John Cena in its place. So all right, who are you removing and putting John Cena in?
Sandman comes out, John Cena goes in.
I'm going to take out, I'm going to get so much shit for this. I'm going to take out, Terry Funk and put in John Cena.
Yeah. Gun to my head. I would say take out Tag from mine and put in John Cena if we had to do it.
I don't want to do that though.
No,
I don't like it. And
here's the thing. When you're looking at a Mount Rushmore VCW, we're limiting it to the Wrestler in our case.
Right.
But you could make an argument that Heyman should be on that Mount Rushmore. You could make an argument that Joey Styles should be on that Mount Rushmore. But what would that product have been without Joey Styles?
Joey Styles, can I just say, I feel bad that he got canceled out, but he was my absolute favorite announcer from, I would say, anything from 96 to about 2004. All I wanted to hear was Joey Styles on TV. That's it. He was the best. Was there anything better than that? Oh my God, when it first started. I'm not talking about as it got older and people couldn't, you know, you heard it so many times, but was there anything better when something bonkers happened and you just got Joey Styles just screaming by himself? Oh my God, it was the greatest.
Yeah, and I will say, with hindsight being 2020, Joey Styles on commentary, a product of its time. Because if you put Joey Styles into today's product doing the exact same thing, I don't think it would work. But it worked for that product in that scenario at that time.
But he wasn't bad on Raw. They just hemmed him in a bit. Hemmed him in too much. Like, he wasn't able to be himself. He could have worked with a color commentator. I found nothing wrong with him when JR was gone. As a matter of fact, he's the guy I wanted. Every time JR was gone, I wanted Joey Styles to be on TV.
Yeah, I mean, I think you needed to rein Joey Styles in a little bit because he was too sports-based for what WWE was doing. But I think they wanted him to be too entertainment-based rather than trying to find a balance with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Joey Styles and WWE went wrong, I think.
But. Yeah, every time he threw his little temper tantrums, it was because he got mad that they kept telling him to stick to a script and everything, and he was all mad about it.
It's IW Guide. I'm the Paul Heyman of this podcast, Butters.
I'm the president, Todd Gordon.
And I am Jim Molyneux.
And I guess we should address the elephant in the room for the last...
I resent you using that term for what you're about, who you're about to do.
The elephant's a little strong.
The last few weeks, we've been short a member. But that member returns this week. Fresh out the pound, this bitch is in heat. It's Marcy.
Hi. I'm back. I'm feeling like I'm the shit right now. So, like, I don't know. I came back early. I fucking crushed it over the weekend, by the way, guys.
Well, tell us. Get into it. What'd you do? And give me the beginning to end of this one.
The beginning to end?
Yeah.
So the beginning would be this the entire week before is almost throwing up because I realized I was going to be DJing at No Class for Sapphic Night. I didn't throw up, though. Got there. So there was like a cool whole like cool setup for this one because DJ C-Star has upgraded everything. Like she has a whole LED board, like fucking, you know, like the side of the aprons on like AEWWE now. She just had that in the like background. So I got to help set that up. That was fun. Finding out that shit could just like burn anything is super sick. And then I DJed for Sapphic Night and I crushed it. Friend of the show, Ed, was there.
Nice.
So I got to hang out with Ed a bunch.
Ed's the best.
Ed rocks.
Yeah.
So I posted a couple clips online. I played a few songs. Maybe I learned a little the usual like hyperpop stuff. I did a couple remixes. And then a few months ago, I knew I wanted to do this. I was talking to a friend. It was literally after that, whichever pay-per-view that like Adam Page drank Swerve's blood, because I maintain that is literally the most sapphic thing I have seen two cis men ever do. Especially when Adam Page posted that picture on Instagram and said something along the lines of "You're with me forever." That is gay as fuck, and I was all about it.
Wait, but why? Why? Why is that gay? I don't understand, Mark.
That is some. Talk to any lesbian and ask them if that's hot or not.
Okay.
9 out of 10, I guarantee it.
Okay. All right.
But anyways, I was
my cousin
talking to a friend. I'm like, huh. Just as a bit, I was like, what if I played Swerve's music? And she's like, oh, if you did it, I would totally do the Prince Donna dance. And I'm like, well, would you do it on stage? And she said, yes. So I had to play it. That was fun. A whole bunch of bangers. I am just like I said, buzzing after it. I feel like I am the shit. I am the baddest bitch in Cleveland now. I don't have to defend it because I now just have a feral pack of trans girls to defend it for me. So if you come at me, I have a whole crew now.
We got to start making merch, huh, Mars?
Yes. You got to talk to JCP about that.
Yep. Well, I missed you because I don't do as well of a job with the what's on as you did. And
oh, that's right. That's a thing we do.
Right. I was very unprepared. I was just giving you a compliment. What the hell?
That was Marky's reminder that she actually got to look right, up on IWTV for that segment later.
That was a nice heads up for her. Hey, by the way, you have work to do now.
Yeah, get back to work since you're here.
Darn.
What the fuck are we paying you for?
Right.
Also, as it goes, I kissed so many girls. So many.
I feel like that always happens when you go to these things.
I can't help it. People want to kiss me.
Yeah.
You kiss a lot more girls than I do, and I'm really jealous about that. I'm not going to lie.
Aren't you? You're married. I don't think you're allowed to kiss.
I'm not allowed to. That can mean I don't. Yeah, just because I can't have anything off the menu, that can mean I can't look at the menu.
That's that's your deal.
It doesn't mean he doesn't have a folder of Cora Jade pictures in a loose leaf that he looked that he goes to when he's down in the basement every once in a while. It happens.
I'm not Adam Van. I do not have a Cora J folder.
No, you just respond to weird women on Twitter with weird things. It makes me cringe.
I like it, Jayhawk. Don't stop being you, my friend.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't say anything because, like, eventually I'm going to want to go through his likes and see what he's got going on in the likes and play the like game with Jayhawk's Twitter account.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure it's pretty sloppy and messy in there.
Yeah, I do try to not make it too sloppy, but I'm sure there's some stuff in there if you dig far enough.
Mm-hmm.
At least I admit there's shit in my likes. I understand how the like game works. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Shout out to our $10 tier, Zach, Chris, Andrew, and Brock. And of course, a special shout out to Patty.
Did that thing go down this weekend where she was honored, or was that a different day?
I don't know when that's actually happening. I just know that that was like a thing that she's going to receive.
That's so cool.
You know, being it's funny though that she is going to get the Educator of the Year award. She was worried that she was going to have to educate me that pee is not actually stored in the balls. And I had to explain to her that it was just a bit, that I am well aware that there is no urine that is stored in the testicles.
It's not a bit, Patty. It's not a bit. Talk to him next time you see him. It's really not a bit. He is there. So
yeah, have that conversation with him on Friday and do not include me in it. How that?
I think you should have that conversation and include Jayhawk in it.
Right. Invite him over.
Yeah,
I got that information from Jayhawk, so you might want to just talk to Jayhawk.
So stupid.
Yeah, I have never had that conversation, Patty.
That's not... Quit lying. Don't lie to Patty.
I'm not lying to Patty.
Do not lie to Patty, Jared.
Didn't you? I'm pretty sure I was there for that. You definitely did that.
Oh, God.
See, Marcy's already picking sides of this.
No, I'm just here for chaotic energy.
Oh, Marcy, tell everybody what happened at Enjoy. Which part? What your experience was at Enjoy. I don't know. I came home with a wallet less full. What did you get at Enjoy?
I got a sick fanny pack. Thank you, brothers.
After you shit-talked fanny packs and said that you should just have a backpack like your Sonic backpack, then you asked for a fanny pack for your birthday, so that's what you got. And you got some cool churros, I guess. Were they good, at least?
They were delicious. No, because you complained about my back. You complained about not having enough space. That's why I shit-talked it. I was like, oh, I have plenty of space now.
And then you turned around and asked.
Wait, they have churros at that theater?
Dude, they got so much good food there. Like, we got loaded fries. I got a grilled chicken sandwich.
Huh.
Well, to get back to it, brothers. Yeah, it looks cute. I wanted it. It's cute.
I know, and I didn't get you anything for your birthday, so it made sense.
And thank you. I appreciate it. But yeah, the show was awesome.
You were having a really fun time watching me freak out.
You were having a moment. You really were.
Well, Butters was in the Odyssey, so, you know, he was getting a little nervous while he was sitting there.
I'm telling you, that outfit was really slim. It made me look even slimmer than I really am and shorter than I really am. And I was just feeling it. I was super athletic when I was doing stuff. It was pretty sweet.
I'm sorry because this didn't just happen and I'm a week out now. My memory's a little hazy. Do you want to re-educate me with what went down, Butters?
Yeah, I remember I was in the Odyssey for a little bit. You didn't
were
remember
you?
That? Yeah, I was in the Odyssey.
Was that you?
I was under a mask, yeah.
Now, you talk about how slimming that outfit made him. Then he got to remember that the camera adds 10 pounds and enjoy you get like a 4-camera shoot. So he just gained all that weight back.
But I didn't, point, though, J-Hall. Because it, for some reason, it slimmed me way out. Like, even with all the camera work and the 10 pounds, I'm still probably, I don't know, 150 pounds lighter.
It's an odd choice calling yourself Ziggy Heim when you went to the ring. That was all that's just the only thing I thought of. I was like, why is he calling himself that?
Why are you going to insult Ziggy like that? It's fucked up.
Well, what are we doing? What's on? What's happening here?
Yeah, we're a little off the rails here.
Let's go to what's on, because we got guests coming soon.
Yeah, yep.
What's on this weekend?
All right, so this weekend on Triller TV, powered by Fight, Friday, March 22nd, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time start. Absolute Intense Wrestling presents Tougher Than Lever, live from Cleveland, Ohio. Isaiah Barona defending the Absolute Championship against Alec Price. Money Shot defending the Tag Team title against PME. Eric Taylor defending the Intense title against Dex Royal. Jason Bane and Joshua Bishop against Tyler Jordan and Joshua Bishop. Effie against Magnum TK. We got Microman in the house in action. We've got Dan Halkin in the building. Demolition going to be making a special appearance. Much, much more. That show can be so fucking good.
Who do you think Microman's going to wrestle?
If the match on Triller, if the match that's happening, he gonna scramble.
Yeah,
well, they announced him in a scramble.
Oh, yeah. Did they?
I've been
going dark on Twitter.
If anybody wants to know, if they want to know what Microman looks like under the hood, I heard he looks suspiciously like Charlie Butters. So, you know, you may want to check that out.
He's considerably shorter than Charlie Butters.
It's just the outfit.
Although I will say, I've never seen Microman and Charlie Butters in the same place at the same time. So maybe. That's
right. How do we know there aren't like three Micromen and Butters is just three Micromen in a trench coat?
Well, I'll let you in on the secret. I detach my dick and my dick is Microman. So my dick can wrestle just as good as anybody, you know, under a mask.
Yeah.
Actually,
how old is Microman? Maybe he's the recall of a fling Butters had in high school.
Well, I will be watching it on Triller. If anybody wants to tweet and do everything with me, I'll be watching it Friday night. So looking forward to the review to that one as well. A couple of big things going on next week.
Oh, yeah. I guess we could announce it here since I didn't announce it officially on the Twitter. So next week will become a mega episode. Not only will we have Ronald Two Legs on to review Tougher Than Leather, but we will also have an interview with a wrestler having his return match at Tougher Than Leather. Jason fucking Bane is coming the show.
Yep.
Locked him down. Can't wait. Can't wait to hear from him. Pick his mind on some classic Cleveland All-Pro and Cleveland Indies from back in the day and get his thoughts on current wrestling. And
On you guys. I have to take your lead next Sunday.
Who he wants to wrestle of the current crop besides who he's already going to wrestle. So very excited for that.
Yep.
Now, also this weekend on Triller, GCW has a doubleheader starting Saturday, March 23rd, 8 p.m. Eastern in Detroit. And they've got Jacob Fatu and Gila Fatu against Bang and Matthews, among other matches on that card. And then Sunday, March 24th, 5 p.m. Eastern time, Rochester, New York, GCW pre-getting The Block is Hot.
Just announce that tag match. That tag match is so fucking insane.
Yep.
Okay, does somebody know it off the top of their head?
Nick Gage and Danhausen are going for the GCW tag team titles held by Violence is Forever. What the fuck is that?
Yeah.
That's going to be madness. And I believe To Infinity and Beyond is on there as well, our pal Colin.
Yes, but To Infinity and Beyond. There's tons of great names on that. I am super tempted, if I wasn't already going to AIW, to head to Rochester for GCW because that show is going to be fucking insane.
Insane. Yeah.
Especially with that 5 o'clock bell time, you can go to the show and still get home at a halfway decent hour, all things considered.
What's that, like 3 hours for you guys?
Close to four, I think. But
four? It's not horrible.
No. Yeah, but you've got that match. You've got, you know, To Infinity and Beyond on the card. Ally Catch on the card. Billy Stark, Jacob Fatu, Microman, Nick Wayne, all kinds of talent on that card on Sunday.
Very cool.
And that's what's on Triller TV, powered by Fight the Quick.
Mars.
All right, over on IWTV, Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Action presents Madras Mayhem, featuring in a six-man tag, Manders, Rico Gonzalez, and Bobby Flacco takes on the team of The Good Hand. Adam Priest takes on QT Marshall. Devlin McAbee takes on Kaya McKenna and much more. Then on Saturday, TWE presents Nihilism. On Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, TWE presents Nihilism, featuring for the TWE Championship, Darian Bengston defends against Sean Legacy. Warhorse takes on Tim Bobbsey. And for the Gig City Championship, Josh Locke defends against Mackenzie Morgan.
I don't know who any of those people are.
Quick
Google search will tell me who they are. How about that?
Yeah, you should look into some of them.
And while you're doing that Google search, you can try to convince people that a wrestling match is a story. Who's a better wrestler is a good story. That was a whole thing on Twitter this week.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Fucking hell.
Well, we have a guest, right, Butters?
Yeah, I think he's here.
Big meaty man slapping meat. Fresh meat.
So, at Fresh Meat last year, we were introduced to a person who can tell us everything we need to know about what is cool in wrestling. And please help me in welcoming Cool Ass Andy to the show.
Hey, Cool Ass Andy.
What up, cool people? It's great to be here.
Thank you for joining us. It was a trip to get you on, and I'm very happy that we could have you on tonight. Are you excited for this Friday?
I am very excited for this Friday. I'm actually excited for today and this week in general, because not only is today my 28th birthday, but today is my 8-year anniversary of attending AIW and independent wrestling shows.
Wow.
Which is crazy for me to believe. It's beyond belief that I started doing that as a fan, and now I get to do the coolest thing, which is be in the ring with some of the top talent in the independent scene today.
Happy birthday. That's really awesome. We got you on your birthday. That's really cool. Thank you for taking the time. Cause if it was my birthday, I'd be like, nah, no thanks.
Are you guys? I'm getting drunk.
Right.
So this is what you're doing on your birthday? You're coming on this show?
Absolutely. I am, baby.
How miserable. I'm sorry.
That's huge. That's huge.
That's proof that we're cool. That nobody's spending their birthday with us. See? That's what I'm saying.
I actually did a little bit of celebrating earlier with my brother. We went to the Barrio in Strongsville, and we had some very, very delicious craft tacos.
Oh, nice.
Barrio, so good.
What's a craft taco?
It's where you do the thing on the paper, and you fill out what you want. Ooh, and then they make it for you. Nice. They really craft it in the kitchen, and they make it for you.
Jayhawk, why have you never taken me there? I've literally
been there once. We went up to see my oldest daughter for the day, and she took us there.
Why didn't you take Butters with you? Obviously, you should have known that he would have wanted to go.
I didn't know we were going there until we got there. We told our daughter, take us somewhere we don't get to go to normally. Well, let's go here. Okay. I didn't know what it was until I got there either.
By the way, speaking of birthdays, it's Trombetta's son Ram's birthday, so we say happy birthday to Ram too.
Lots of birthdays, yeah.
Yeah, hey, happy birthday, good.
And Saturday was Derek Dillinger's birthday. So yep. I mean, we were just everybody being conceived around, you know.
March is a very birthday filled month.
Yeah. Especially in wrestling.
A lot of Christmas area celebrations. I'm joking. I'm not completely off on that. That would be like summer solstice celebration.
Okay. Mm. Okay. There you go.
We're still talking about wrestling, right?
Actually. Absolutely. All right, Butters. I got some questions for you.
Lay them on me, baby. What do you got?
If the sound guy hits your music, is it really a surprise run-in?
Is it really a surprise run-in if the sound guy hits my music?
Yeah.
Do you mean just for me or like in wrestling in general?
In wrestling in general.
I would say it could still be a surprise run in because nobody really expects you to go out there. Like the minute that you know that you're going out there is when your music hits. People don't know it on the other side though, because when the music plays, they get the reaction that they're hoping for when that happens.
Okay. Why do wrestlers wear tights if pulling them is so effective?
It's just the style. But you don't
wear tights.
I don't. That's very true.
You almost dress like Super Callow.
That is awesome, actually, that you say that. That makes a lot of sense, yeah.
Now, Andy, is that too far back or no? Because every time we talk to you young guys, I feel like I date myself. But is Super Callow on there or no?
He might be a little too far back for me, but I do want to ask, is he that Lucha Underground dude that had like the full checkerboard bodysuit or different guy?
No, keep going backwards. So WCW, Josh, in the 90s.
Find a picture and post it on our Twitter and tag him in it so he can see it.
Yep.
When a main event is made during the show, what was the main event going to be beforehand?
When the main event is made during a show, what is the main event going to be beforehand?
Yeah. So say, you know, we're going to have a show and say like in the first segment, we're going to make what the main event's going to be for the show. What was the main event beforehand? If there was no main event actually scheduled until the show. These are just philosophical questions in wrestling. You can make up whatever you want on them. They're not actual, like, I'm not trying to like mess with you and give me a real answer. You can just.
Okay. I was, my head was getting thrown for a loop there. That wasn't not that cool of a thing to do there, Butters. Come on.
That's wrong.
Wow, Butters.
But I mean, if it's the main, it's going to get booked as the main event regardless. Like some things, in my mind especially, there are some matches that I feel like should get booked over as the main than what the actual main event's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it just depends on whoever the promoter is and whatever the promotion is and whatever the match is. Like sometimes championship matches aren't going to be the main event, and then sometimes that they could be that, and then something happens where they could get pushed to the spot above or to a couple spots in the middle.
So I'm only grateful they book a main event like that during a show, though, because otherwise those show could all be like an hour and 20 minutes and they'd have all the other time to kill.
So let's get down to it. With your statement, obviously you hate the way John Thorne books shows because he always has to have, no, I'm kidding. I'm teasing.
You can't
I'm
do that teasing. To me right now.
No, I can't do that.
Do that to me, bro. No.
Why are the ropes so bouncy?
What? I mean, they're like rubber bands, man. What else are you going to do?
Stretched ropes. That's right.
Do you guys really need a bottom rope? Do you think you should just get rid of it? I mean, nobody's bouncing off that bottom rope.
I don't know. That's Leo Rush's finisher right there. The bottom rope bounce into that stunner.
Yeah, but when's Leo Rush wrestle at AIW?
I'm just saying. Do you always have to take it? Do you have to take it out for everyone? Just leave it in there. It's fine. It's not hurting anybody.
Plus the bottom rope. No bottom rope. Just looks dumb.
Yeah, you're right. Just this big open space in the ring. You feel like you're going to fall out.
No, there doesn't need to be no rope breaks. Screw that. You know, you just tap out if you can't get to the rope on the second rope.
This sounds like something you should ask someone who invented the sport as opposed to Andy.
If anything technically, goes, though,
if you get rid of the bottom rope, then the middle rope becomes the bottom. Let me get a time machine,
travel back, and ask Abraham Lincoln how that works out.
Yeah, ask him if it's cool.
If anything goes in an anything goes match, why are we even bothering with pinfalls?
That's a good question.
Somebody still has to win.
Right.
Somebody still got to come out as a winner.
And my final question, did The Undertaker start off dead?
I mean, I assume he had to die first, right? And then become the whatever he is, the dead man.
Well, it's just his title. Like, The Undertaker itself is literally somebody who digs a hole and then pronounces the guy dead or whatever. No, wait, that was the coroner.
Right. The Undertaker's not pronouncing anybody dead, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, they're already dead.
He's like the medic on NCIS. He's going in, he's running the autopsy, he's doing the whole thing.
What if, that was his deal? Out
to Ducky, whatever that guy's
That's
name
right,
is.
That's right, to Donald Mallard, who recently passed away. David McCallum.
So these were all philosophical questions that RJ City asked in this week's Hey EW. And I just thought it would be really fun to ask them because they're really funny, really good questions. And I thought it was a fun bit.
They are. I'm not going to lie. You had me going in the first half, though, but they do seem kind of funny. It's like those water is wet jokes, which I personally hate because like it sparks nothing but hate and discourse. And I'm just like, why are we arguing about this?
Did you backyard wrestle?
Did I backyard wrestle at all? I did not. I didn't know about that or even professional wrestling until like 2002, 2003. And then I started watching around January 2008. So I didn't know about this whole scene other than like whatever was on TV.
Okay. Do you have a pre-show ritual?
Usually it's just get into my gear if I'm wrestling, drink about one or two bottles of water, stretch it out, flex it out. I've seen a couple other people do a tradition where they like just do the whole like slap themselves awake type thing so they can get ready and get pumped up. And I usually listen to either my entrance song to kind of get pumped up, or what I'll do is I'll listen to another song by the band Ugly Kid Joe, because they play my entrance music, and I've never seen them live, but I would love to, because they're pretty cool.
All right, Jay Gold, take over, my man.
Yeah, so I'm going to get to all the what I call housekeeping questions that we can find out about you, because technically, you know, you're still fresh meat as far as the interview would go, and I would say to get a lot of people to find out about you. So you gave us a little bit there. You said, you know, you didn't know anything about wrestling until you didn't start watching until about 2008. Give us the journey to 2008 until now, how you got into the school, and how'd you get into wrestling? If you didn't do TV, but you're doing a lot of indies, or were you doing TV and then you just stumbled on the indies? How did you get exposed to it and then get to the school?
So it was TV, then the indies. It was, as actually my grandfather on my mom's side, he would watch like SmackDown on Friday nights, and there'd be times when he would just watch me and my brother at home, because my parents would be doing, you know, parent stuff. And he would occasionally put it on. And when I just saw what was happening, like, first guy I saw was Rey Mysterio, and then eventually CM Punk and Edge were wrestling in the main event. And I'm like, this is the coolest thing in the world. How do I watch more about it? So I found out about that. And then I found Pro Wrestling Illustrated magazines in my local library. That's what showed me not just the idea of like other companies other than WWE, but other companies that are on TV other than the WWE. Like Impact was still running, Ring of Honor was running, and I knew about those. And then the whole CM Punk pipe bomb speech. And then I found out that there's actually promotions and there's actual professional wrestling stuff that goes on in the state. So I attended a couple ones before I found AIW. And then around 2013, 2014, I found the company, followed them on Twitter, followed them on Facebook, and just saw them advertising shows, not getting a chance to go yet. And then eventually in 2016, I went to my first show because I was a huge fan of Lucha Underground. March 18th, 2016 was the Gauntlet for the Gold show that had Sabre Jr., that had Ray Rowe, and that had Penta on the show. And that was where I saw a lot of guys that are now on TV and now guys that are back on the independent scene and just blowing up. Like Joey Janela was on there. Eddie Kingston was on that show. And Tim Donst, God love him, was on that show. He was really cool. And that was what kind of opened my mind to, okay, there's this whole professional wrestling thing that isn't just what I see on TV. It's a lot more interpersonal, but they're bringing people from TV, and it's a lot cooler. So I could probably go to these more often than I would go to TV stuff, because when SmackDown or Raw or anything like WWE related or even Impact related, when they used to travel a lot, would barely come to Cleveland. So the fact that there's another company that's running and having these productions and these large scale shows in smaller venues made me believe like, okay, I can go to this. I can do this stuff and I can watch people that are in different companies. And then over time, I became a fan, fell into the scene, went to the after parties a lot when I became old enough. Right around the time of the pandemic, when everything was just slowly kind of shutting down, I had moved out of my house with my brother. We're currently in an apartment. And then in February 2021, I messaged Dom asking about the school. We had gone back and forth a bit, and then I joined up that summer in May. And then from there was just trying to fit in that plus a part-time job and then a full-time job, because I was a teacher for a long time. And that meant my summers were a little bit more available. But by the time the school year started, I kind of had to dial it back a bit. And then eventually it got to a point where, okay, I've worked enough in education and I've also trying to work in more to the point where I can debut and get matches. I need to focus a little bit more on that while still putting forth effort into my educational career. Fast forward a couple of years, and now I'm in the spot that I'm in where I debut at Fresh Meat 3, and things have been going pretty well so far from what I can tell.
Did your parents support you and when you started this?
At first, my mom was really more kind of shocked and worried, just because, like, you know, I'm doing this thing where them growing up in the 80s, they knew about guys that were yay huge and doing things that looked like they were getting hurt and possibly even getting hurt in the ring. So it was a little bit of a coping thing that my mom had to come to terms with. But my dad was just like, ah, you'll be fine. Just go ahead and do it. And I've definitely gotten their support a little bit more over the years. Like, they're my biggest supporters are the biggest people that have my backing in terms of like friends and family members. And my brother actually designed, if I get a chance to, a shirt that I have, and I'll probably post it at towards the end of this interview, some of the shirt designs that I've had made between myself, Gorilla Press before he was Sick Things, and then my brother actually put a design together, which is really, really cool of him.
So let's talk about that. Where did you, where, let's get to the real meat here. Where, what's the origins of Cool Ass Andy? Where'd the name come from and the idea?
The name more or less came around from, I got to thank John Thorne for that one. He was the one that came up with the idea of this character where he portrays himself as this really cool guy, even though that everyone's kind of in the joke that he's not. And he explained it as kind of like how, Tim Robbins, if you know that comedian, him and also Dustin Alberti, they kind of came up with this character when they were coming back from a taping show that they did with Black Label. And they presented it to me with the name and the idea of how the debut goes down. And I'm a little bit kind of nervous and apprehensive because it's not the same way that everybody else goes. And it's not necessarily what at first I would have wanted to have had happen. But looking at how everything kind of resolved itself, worked out, and the position that I'm in now and what I'm working towards, it definitely makes things come a little bit more full circle. Like, it might not have been what I had initially intended, but it was something that I am now going to use, and I can still put my foot in and work with a lot of different people and work with a handful of different styles from what I can see, and wrestlers that are willing to also work with me as well.
Huh. Tell me about your influence when you were watching wrestling. What kind of moveset, and who's your guy? Who's your guy when you started, and who's your guy now that you're kind of emulating or you want to be like?
So I will sing this guy's praises, even though he was a little problematic after one of the Dark Side of the Ring episodes. But the first guy that I can say that I kind of appreciated for with professional wrestling was Tommy Dreamer. I'm a huge, huge old school ECW guy, because when I found out about WWE, and I would go back and watch clips on YouTube, and I would see just Tommy Dreamer appear and his dedication to what ECW stood for, his consistency that he's kept in with that, the amount of work that he's had to put in and also still be able to do what the old ECW was about and bring that to the WWE at times, and then even to Impact and a couple different other promotions that he's been involved with. He was the guy that I kind of first got into, is like, I could see myself doing a lot of his moveset. I could see myself doing a lot of his stuff. But in terms of like the guy that first got me involved in wrestling, it was Rey Mysterio, just because of the outfit, the costume, the fact that he was yay small, but could do these amazing aerial death defying stuff. But I don't know if Cool Ass Andy could probably pull that off. That might be a little too cool for him.
Well, so what's the goal now? So, you know, you're not like these, some of these other guys who started, you know, watching wrestling when they were like four, you know, some younger guys. What's the goal for you? Where do you want to take this as far as your next steps go in your career? Where would you like to be?
So one of the long-term goals that I've had falling in line with that would be become one of like the next great, one of the next great hardcore style professional wrestlers. But in this day and age, that kind of falls in with some of the deathmatch scene stuff. But when I found out about that, because YouTube had existed for a long time, I found out about like old school combat zone wrestling with like Sick Nick Mondo, the glory days of Nick Gage, Justice Payne, Trent Acid, and all these different older CZW dudes. I was like, this is like ECW put to the next level. I want to find a way or find out how to do some of the stuff that these guys do. And eventually try and work that where I can do the wrestling stuff, but I can also do the hardcore style brawling deathmatchy type performances that I've seen and that I would like to try my hand at.
I like that. I mean, listen, if you're not exposed to it and you're not, you know, you don't have a good grasp on it, it could, you know, we know some guys who are in AIW like Twan, who went to the hardcore area and took a light tube and never, I don't think I ever saw him again after that. But like, you know, that world is a little bit different than what you guys are doing at AIW right now. So, you know what, well, I mean, there are places for it and people love it. So
yeah,
there's plenty of ghouls out there. Yeah.
There's certain styles of hardcore too. Like I could see Cool Ass Annie going up against Shane Douglas. Shane Douglas is a walk and brawl guy. I think they could have a really fun match. I like to see that on a Thursday night show. I think that could be really good.
On a Thursday show. Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
I mean, I could get behind that.
There's opportunity. I mean, as far as your opportunities go, are you looking down the line going, okay, I have some shows on the docket. Where am I getting my experience from right now?
Not necessarily a couple. Most of the stuff that I've been to have been AIW shows, but I've been going to just a couple more independents in the Columbus area. I've been to a couple in Pennsylvania where there was one where they did like a Philadelphia street fight. And for some reason, one of the weapons was like a stuffed baguette that was supposed to be like a Philadelphia cheesesteak sandwich, but with like Duplo blocks. And I'm like, okay. So I get a little bit of a different style of what actually hardcore wrestling could be too. It's not just, you know, beating each other up with light tubes and glass and tacks. It could be, you know, just simple things. And I could get behind it regardless, because this is something that I would like to try and get towards.
You ever talk to a guy like Kaplan and see like what that world might be like, or, you know, a guy like Derek, who is your coach, I assume. So like, I would assume that, you know, he's been in a bunch of those type of style matches, like that barbed wire ring match. And you know, Derek, the rumor is he's still bleeding, but it's, you know, that's a world that's interesting, because you're the first guy who came on who actually said, you know, I that's the world you want to be in. Colin, yeah. You know, we had Colin Delaney on last week, and he said, you know, he was frustrated by the sheer amount of hardcore matches on a card, and how many shows do, you know, entire shows of heart
death match and hardcore is very different. I think there's two very different things there.
I agree with you, but I think the lines are blurred lately. And I think a lot of the young guys who come out, when they hear hardcore, they still think tubes or, you know, blood, and it doesn't have to be. You could do a hardcore match without blood, without tubes. You can go through tables and doors and, you know, chair shots and stuff without having to do that. So, you know, I'm just thinking out loud and like stream of consciousness. So tell me, before I hand you over to Jayhawk, right now, who's your favorite? Let's talk indies. Who's your favorite indie guy? Who do you want to go up against?
If I were to pick anybody right now that I would have to have a match against, I would say either Bad Boy Joey Janela. I like him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's still actively performing, but I still want to find a way to get Tim Donst involved as well, because he was one of the guys that I saw growing up, and I was inspired by his whole story of overcoming cancer, coming back to wrestling, performing, doing some hardcore, doing some deathmatch, fighting some of the best, and then coming back to wrestling. So I try to follow as much of the Joey's, I'll say Donst, and then I'll also say Alec Price too. I got to meet him and hang out with him a couple times when he's been up at AIW. So he's been very cool.
Yeah, I'd like to see you with Tim Donst. I miss Tim Donst. He was fun to watch. I mean, he was, you know, just built like he's just thick and just takes a beating, and you just watch him go, and he does he could do a lot of different things. So yeah, that would definitely be, I could say, you know, honestly, I could see you doing that. That's an interesting matchup, and not a lot of people have mentioned Tim Donst that we've interviewed as far as the younger guys go. So kudos to you on that one.
I think a handful of, like, when it comes to these younger guys, I am going to make a bold statement with, say, out of the last two, like, graduating the classes between freshman 2 and freshman 3, I've probably been aware of who's been coming to AIW a lot more often. Like, there was one guy who was surprised when we announced Danhausen coming back in 2021. Was not Butters. But he had thanked John Thorne at one moment for booking him. And I was surprised. It's like, has he not been paying attention? Like, we've had him multiple times. He has done his stuff here multiple times. So it's always amazing to me whenever people decide to be part of this little program or everything that we've done here at AIW, and they just don't know who's been through here a lot. And then there's times like myself where a name will get thrown out, like Archibald Peck. Lawler threw him and me at like an after party once. And I had no idea who this guy was, and then I saw a lot of his stuff, and I'm like, okay, I see what's going on. But
well, I need you to look up Super Calo when you get off the show tonight, because that's your entire outfit.
He tagged you and
you'll take a look.
I'll see what this guy looks like. I can't wait.
Jayhawk.
Plenty of Super Calo footage on Peacock too, by the way. Right. But
okay.
Yeah.
I have Peacock, so I can watch that later. Nice.
There you go.
Hey, so did you have any kind of athletic background before you started training for Rec Wing? Did you play any sport in high school, anything like that?
Nothing competitively or contact-wise. I had been a competitive swimmer for a long time. High school, that was difficult just because, like, it's four different strokes and a handful of different events that are just fast. And then when I went to college, because I got a little bit of a scholarship to be a swimmer there, rest in peace, Notre Dame College in South Euclid, Ohio, I was a distance swimmer. So my body was not built to go fast, but it was built to endure. I was built for endurance. So I would do the 500, which is back and forth 20 times. I did the 1,000, which is back and forth about 40. And then once or twice a year, I would swim a mile, which is back and forth in a pool about 66 times. And the fastest I could do that was under 20 minutes, which I still pretty proud of myself to that.
So I got some merch ideas for you, Andy. Now I got merch ideas for you. Cool ass Andy will endure. I like that. We're cooking.
Message me about that. I could definitely see myself doing something like that.
Yes, we're cooking, people. We're doing things. Yeah. Sorry, Jake.
No, you're fine, Jay Gold.
You're fine. Andy, sorry.
How would training for swimming compare to training for wrestling? I'm sure there are plenty of different, but there might be similarities as well.
It's a handful of different worlds because when you're doing wrestling, you know, you have to make contact with the guy. With swimming, the only way you make contact with the guy is if you're not looking and you accidentally veer off into another swim lane and just clock a person, which sounds impossible, but I have seen it happen. It's more, and with that one, it was more endurance and like distance sets. So more about building up cardio and seeing how far your muscles can go before they start to give out. With wrestling, it's more about strength. It's not just how much like power you could have in your muscles to keep going. It's about how much power you could have in the one moment. So it's different, but I do think that it's definitely helped in terms of like building up my cardio and recognizing that there are some things muscle wise that have been built into me from swimming. It's just not a complete crossover at all. They're just two slightly different worlds.
Cool ass Andy versus Kaplan Iron Man match. Let's go.
Wait, Andy, I forgot to ask Jayhawk. Sorry. I just had one question for you and I should have asked all the Fresh Meat guys this, but since you started a little bit later, you have swimming as a background. What was your thoughts on your first bump that you ever took?
You know, I never really thought about that. But I guess I would just say, like, ow.
that was my first thought when I took my first bump. Interesting.
Oh, I've never asked you either, Jayhawk. I'm sorry. And I know Butters did it too.
I feel like that's going to be everyone's answer.
I got concussed, so I don't know.
Ouch. My head.
Yeah.
Oof. Okay. So what's on your playlist when you're driving to a show or working out? What are you listening to?
Oh, I listen to a little bit of anything and everything. It could be 1 minute old school classic hip hop by like Public Enemy or Ice Cube or Wu-Tang Clan or even Queen Latifah to modern bands like Beartooth, Neck Deep, or this one that I found from like the 90s called Rhino Bucket. Anybody ever seen Wayne's World?
Yes.
Yes.
The scene where they're driving in the car and like Garth cuts the licorice rope out of the thing at the top. One of their songs is playing in the background and I'm like, these sound really familiar. And then I found them just listening to the radio one day and it was all right. They're really good. So it's a little bit of anything and everything as long as there's some like energy to it. There's like some oof.
Well, I hate to tell you this, but the correct answer was the IW Guide podcast. So we're gonna end this interview now. So
all right, see ya.
We're screwing with you. Get back here.
I know.
That's why we can see it, Jayhawk. If he gets up, it's just for us. Jeez.
No, this is for like a Patreon exclusive thing.
Right, right. One day we will have the video feed.
We're just gonna instigate all our guests to the point they leave.
Right. That's gonna be the next part, the next evolution.
We're
gonna
market them as blow ups, and that's how we're gonna cause controversy.
It'll be like a YouTube highlights playlist.
Oh, I love it. I think it would be great for us. I think we go right ahead and start chasing people off the show. Well, we won't start with Andy, but we'll start with somebody big.
Start with somebody.
Yeah. And then we'll get Thorn on and we'll do it.
That was just a little tease.
Right.
Okay. So tell me about the boogeyman moment. You got to share the ring with the boogeyman at a show. Walk us through that a little bit.
Oh, my God. First off, I just got to say that was aside from my debut, I know that's really like the only moment that I've had so far, but that's probably been one of the best things that I've been a part of, whether as a fan or a performer. Because Boogeyman is, I mean, everybody I'm pretty sure has seen the picture of him or the video of him cradling the baby, singing him a lullaby, which was, it's very, I don't know how telling that is of like some of the people in the AIW fan base or like wrestling fans, but it was definitely something to behold. But I get the notification, or sometime around my debut, I get a notice from just people talking to me that like, hey, you're working with Boogeyman on the show. And I'm like, oh, great. What am I doing? Like, am I going to have to take Werbs? Is he going to slam me, do whatever? And I was under the impression that I would just do something that would have him come out and, you know, we do the bit. He comes after me, beats me up, and then gives me the Werbs. And then somehow, somewhere, I can't explain it, but it gets changed to the point where it's instead, okay, he's not going to hurt you, but something's going to be done where he's going to get saved by you. So I'm like, okay. And then he pulls eventually. That's how Carson got involved, which God love Brian Carson. We get pulled aside. We go through the bit. Carson does his thing. I come out, say a couple things, hits me with the mic, and then he does the whole Boogeyman bit. Carson just gets the Werbs kind of smushed in his face, and then I'm like standing over there in the corner, and then I eventually get the Werb fed into me. And when I'm chewing with it, I'm literally trying to get it in my mouth because I know for a fact that if I don't take it, I don't look like a punk. Like, Boogeyman is not going to respect me for taking it. So that happens, and then when I'm in the ring and I do the weird boogie shuffle, that was completely on me. I was not told to do that. I could have easily just rolled out of the ring and had that be the end of it. But everything that happened afterwards was 100% me, from eating the Werb, doing the jive, falling, saying what I said afterwards, which was just simple. That was it. And I still thank Boogeyman to this day, because that was, again, there's nothing else I could say. That was an incredible moment.
Okay, I got one more for you here before I turn it over to Marky. Have you ever heard of the wrestling sleaze list?
The wrestling what? Take that as your no, then.
Sleaze list.
Oh, sleaze list. Take that as a no, I have not heard that.
Okay. So this one started by Tony Khan in the late 90s, early 2000s on the old DVD-VR message board, and he just compiled a list of all the sleaziest, scummiest things he'd ever heard of in wrestling.
Okay.
I'm gonna have
I don't
you
like pick, where this is going, but all right.
I'm going to have you pick a number between 1 and 460. I'm going to read it to you, and we're going to discuss whether we think it's true or not.
Did you say 460?
Yes.
All right, we'll go with 318.
318.
That's my birthday.
Captain Lou Albano versus Shane McMahon, late 80s. Albano was one of the people Vince Jr. asked to take care of after he died. Lou apparently tested this out one day. An 11-year-old Shane would always walk up to Lou and say, "What's up, fat man?" This would piss Lou off and give the boy a round of chuckle. One day, Shane went up to Lou and said once again, "What's up, fat man?" Lou reportedly told Shane if he called him fat man one more time, he'd forget who he was and slap the taste out of his mouth. Sure enough, little Shane said, "No problem, fat man." Then little Shane got slapped a good one. True or false?
True or false, Captain Lou slapped the piss out of Shane McMahon.
I hope that's true. I love when rich kids get the shit smacked out of them.
I think they had problems, didn't they? Didn't Vince and Captain Lou have problems anyway, and like Lou was banished for a while?
The way I understand it is that Lou would get drunk, like at a TV taping, gave him shit to Vince. Vince would fire him, and then when Lou covered up, he'd apologize, and Vince would rehire him. And that happened like every 3 weeks.
Oh, I'm going to go with Marceline on this one. I agree. This is probably something that definitely happened. It just sounds, in the world of professional wrestling, this wacky world of professional wrestling that we've all been involved in some way, shape, or form, it is very, very strange. And there are stories that you hear that you're just confused about. And then you're also like, okay, yeah, that definitely could have happened. So I'm going to agree with Marceline on this one.
Well, so Colin on last week said to us, we gave him the sleaze list, and he goes, everything on that list is true. He basically said this sport is so fucking vile.
Oh my God.
Basically everything on that list is, he's like, yeah, that happened. Yeah. Like he was like right out with it. So I fully believe it.
knowing Colin, because I got to hang out with him on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving at a show, or like an after party for a show, he told us this very, very incredible story of how, like, I think he said it was him and Evan Bourne, Matt Sydal at the time, they were road tripping around. And at one point they were told, or somebody brought up the fact of how, like, those, like, strips that are on highways that are, like, separating the like lanes that you go in.
Okay.
Not the rumble strips on the side of the road, the ones that are like separating the lanes in the highway, those like painted lines.
Yeah.
He says that they are 10 feet across from one to the next. So he told us a story of how him and Sydal wanted to prove it at like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning or something like that, mm-hmm. and pulled the car off to the side of the road, got off in the middle of a busy highway in the middle of nowhere, probably in Kentucky or something, and just started walking up and down those lines to try and prove it. And so he could tell a little better, but I guess Mark Henry and Teddy Long were in a car behind them. They see what they're doing. They recognize them and they go, "What are you guys doing?" And then I think Colin shouts out something like, "It's for science, Teddy." And then Teddy says something just like, "Crazy white people," or something to that effect.
So believe it or not, US standards is 10 Uh-oh. Feet long with 20 feet between sections. Yeah.
Woo. Gotta love you, Colin.
Smart guys. Yeah. Not surprised.
Oh my goodness. That's awesome.
All right, Mark, yeah, I defer to you.
All right. So I'm gonna get to some of the outside the ring stuff. Would you like to do like just in your free time to kind of just decompress?
That's a good one. I mean, the most standard answer that I have is video games. I used to have a PlayStation 4, but I had to get rid of it because it bricked on me and the disc drive wasn't working, so that was a whole fiasco. But I do have a Switch. I just got the new Star Wars Battlefront collection for any of you Star Wars nerds out there, mm-hmm. myself included. It actually, surprisingly, it holds up very well on the Switch. Sometimes whenever you have a game that's been on like PlayStation or Xbox or something like that for a long time and they port it to the Switch, it doesn't work out that well, but it definitely works well on Switch. And then other than that, I'm a big music person. I do play guitar a couple of times. I have videos between my personal Instagram and my wrestling Instagram. Half the time it's just songs that I think are fun and easy to play. And then other times it's songs that have some sort of personal meaning to me or some sort of connection. And then just listening to music. I have a collection of CDs and records. So when I'm at home, just nothing to do on a Saturday or Sunday, I'll just pop a couple of records on, crack a beer, get some whiskey or whatever, and enjoy my free time.
Have you ever played in a band then?
Nothing professionally, but just, you know, high school kids. There were a lot of moments where we would do stuff, just playing music, and then nothing would happen. Half the time, we would all get together at, like, my house, and then we would just putz around. Like, we had one really talented guitar player, and he would come up with an idea of like, what if we did this, but it would be like me, him, my brother on bass, and then no drummer, and I didn't have a drum set, so we couldn't do it. So half the time it was just us talking about music and then getting our butts kicked in Smash Brothers.
And to get back to video games, I gotta ask, what are like some of the favorites then?
My ultimate favorite, I always say, is Sly Cooper, the Thievius Raccoon series on PlayStation.
Really?
A lot of good childhood memories on that, from just, that was my first console that I had, which is a big part of it, but a lot of good childhood memories from playing those games. The Jak and Daxter series to an extent, but as far as some newer stuff, the Shantae the Genie games are really good. I love those. Pokemon Shield, I play that one more than Scarlet. Melee, if you're listening to this, you can debate with me on what the best Pokemon game is.
I was going to say, you should go. You have the guy right there to fix your PlayStation 4 if it bricks. You can have Melee fix it for you.
I don't know if he'd fix it so much as he would probably just grab it and then gamer rage all over it and then say PC Master Race or something like that. Love you, Melee. You're a cool dude. But yeah, I mean, it's. And then a lot of the Guitar Hero games around the time 3 came around. So that heavily influenced a lot of my musical choices. And then just Call of Duties for a long time.
Now, do you play Spider-Man on easy so that you can follow for the story?
That's what
I want to know.
I actually, man. So I need to play the new one that came out and also the Miles Morales one. But I think I played that one on medium.
Nope. Easy is the only way to go. You got to play it so you can follow the story. Forget all the challenges. It's not worth it.
I think that's a you problem.
It is.
Yeah, it's definitely that sounds like a you problem.
Yeah.
I followed the story, no problem. And I didn't play on the
easy. Yeah, so was I. I followed the DLC story pretty well.
I think I played on hard. So yeah, showing off. Josh, I think you should at least try normal. I think you got to believe in yourself.
No, I'm done. I'm on PGA, EA PGA 2023 right now. I just bought the show that comes out tonight. And then the show 24. And then I play The Last of Us 2. I already beat it, so I have all this stuff on easy, so I can just shoot everybody.
If you have all the stuff, just play on. If you have all the stuff, just play on medium. Then
that's a really good point. I didn't think of that, Marsh. That's actually a good. I that can't seems die. Like so a
fair compromise. It to does. Me.
Yeah, I'll turn on all the sliders and do that. You're right. You're right. I should have thought of that, Marsh. Huh?
They're throwing the podcast into disarray right now.
Sorry.
All right, Jesus Christ. All right, Andy, as you are the authority on cool, I'd like to ask you a few things that are specifically trans girl coded, and I want to see if you think they're cool or not.
Okay.
So we're going to start off, since we're talking about video games, Bloodborne.
Bloodborne?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. You know what my problem is? I keep getting that confused with Dark Souls for whatever reason.
It's more or less in the, it's, you know, it's the, it is, but it isn't.
So, it's not for me, but I am going to say for the amount of people that do play it, it seems pretty cool.
The IKEA shark. I believe his name is Blaja. It's not my thing, but I know so many girls that have him.
The IKEA shark is cool. You've got to cuddle up with before you build the IKEA bed or whatever other piece of IKEA furniture you build. Doesn't matter.
What about coding? Like, you know,
computer like with coding. Computers or like queered coding?
Computer coding.
Okay. Coding's pretty cool.
Coding is cool. Hyperpop.
Please explain.
I don't know what it is either.
Genre of music. Let's see. Those more popular acts, 100GEX, Charlie XCX.
Oh, 100GEX. 100GEX are not cool, but Charlie XCX is cool.
And then last of all, because I just need my ego stroked, DJing for the biggest lesbian party in Cleveland.
That is very cool.
I'm very cool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's get the voicemails.
Hello. No one is available to take your call. Please leave a message after the tone.
You ever call me that ever again, I'll kill you.
Up first, we have Will from Gorilla Press Clothing.
Oh, boy.
Yo, Andy, it's your buddy Will here from Gorilla Press Apparel. Hey, guys, I wanted to ask Andy a quick question. With you being the man on the end-all be-all on cool and everybody talking about their Mount Rushmores these days, who would cool-ass Andy put on his Mount Rushmore of cool?
So that's the first part.
Okay. Do you want me to answer both parts or just this one part first?
Answer this part first.
Okay. The Mount Rushmore of cool. I'm guessing he's thinking of what's both in wrestling and not in wrestling, or just in general. So I'm going to say the Mount Rushmore of cool involves a good pair of sunglasses, a dope playlist on Spotify, a nice patterned floral Hawaiian shirt or patterned pants, and, well, I don't have them, probably a couple nice tattoos. And nice tattoos. Nothing that's like, you know, promoting anything that's angry or hateful.
So like the tattoo that Marcy has on her stomach where it's a woman bent over showing her butthole and then the butthole is actually Marcy's belly button?
No, that's her own problem. That's nothing that's promoting hateful or anger.
Because that would be cool.
Yeah, I would say that's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. And then the belly button barks.
It barks?
Oh my God. All right. Here's the rest of the call.
And here's the second.
I don't know if you guys have talked about it on the show or not, but I do want to reiterate, reach out to Sid Von England and get a order on a Shelby Wilder shirt that we are doing that'll help him pay for his medical bills. The first batch is pretty much done and most of it's accounted for. If you guys missed out and you would like to get more, reach out to Sid and we'll make it happen. Also, make sure you head on over to Enjoy's page on Twitter and Instagram. They have a link for a GoFundMe for Shelby if you'd like to donate to his medical bills. Shelby's had real rough luck lately with injuries and things like that. We wanted to kind of band together as a community to help him out a little bit. So if, you know, getting a t-shirt's not your thing, make sure you head over to the GoFundMe that Enjoy put together. Make sure you help out Indie Wrestling Guide podcast, Rookie of the Year, Shelby Wilder with his medical bills. Love you guys. See you Friday at the show. Later.
All right.
Well, well deserved for that second bit. Shelby's Shelby's one of the coolest dudes I've met probably through this whole entire wrestling experience. And to hear that he got injured again was very unfortunate. I actually messaged him when I saw the, excuse me, that's the tacos giving me indigestion. But anyway, I messaged Shelby when I saw these posts about him getting injured or something like that. And I was like making sure he's like, yeah, I'll be okay. And I just wanted to be sure that he's doing all right. So I shot him a message, I think this past weekend, cause I was thinking about him, but yes, please. If you have not done so already, or if you're thinking about doing it, send money orders in for those t-shirts or go to Enjoy Wrestling's page for the GoFundMe to help Shelby out with his medical bills. It's a good dude. Need more guys like him in the ring, in the wrestling business. Help him out if you can.
Oh yeah. All right. Up next is the EVP of health for AIW, Jeremy.
All right. Hi, the Indie Wrestling Guys. This is Jeremy, EVP of health. I'm calling with some questions for your guest, Cool Ass Andy. First of all, happy birthday. Second of all, what do you think your strengths and weaknesses are in your wrestling game right now? And who do you see yourself, who would you like to see yourself feuding with, over the next year or so in AIW? Who do you think you match up with best in the ring? Thank you.
Okay, so strengths, weaknesses, and then who I would want to have. I'm going to say a match first, because I don't see myself really feuding with anybody at the moment, unless if there's something that I did without people realizing it. But I could see myself probably having a match with a guy like Zay Garcia, maybe, or Alex Melee, because those dudes hit hard, and that's something that I feel like I need to work better at, and that's hitting harder. And not necessarily trying to intently necessarily cause harm, but do enough to make it look like I'm doing just that. But my biggest strength would probably be, I think I'm very strong sometimes when I'm on a mic, when I do with cutting promos and things like that. So as far as like trying to get the crowd on my side and believe what's happening, that's definitely in my favor.
All right. Let's see. Up next is friend of the show, Young Ed.
Oh boy.
Hello, the Indie Wrestling Guy. This is Ed. So I understand you have Cool Ass Andy on, and I needed to call in to ask Cool Ass Andy a Cool Ass question. Are you aware that there's another cool wrestler on the block? Cool Beast Man. And if you are aware of Cool Beast Man, where are you talking about Cool Beast Man? I think he's pretty fucking cool.
Yes.
So yeah, let me know what you guys think about Cool Beast Man. Well, not only you guys, I already heard what you guys think about Cool Beast Man and Butters. What do you think of Cool Beast Man? Okay, bye.
Oh, Young Ed. What a guy. What a young man.
Well, but Andy, you gotta answer. What's your thoughts on Cool Beast Man right now?
So is it actually Cool Beast Man or is it just Beast Man? Because I know of Beast Man, but I don't know if that's the same person he's talking about.
It's the same person, but he was doing like a the Beefman gimmick at 880. He was doing like Cool Beast Man. He was doing like dancing and talking and shit.
Oh, okay. I would have to meet him to get a full proper opinion, but I'd say just based off of my impression of him right now, he seems like a pretty cool guy.
He is pretty cool.
He's a nice dude, but
like I said, I would have to meet him to get a full, excuse me, to get a full actual answer. But all right. As it stands right now, he's pretty cool.
I will forever disagree, but he asked for your opinion, not mine. So this last call is a mystery. I have an idea who it could possibly be. And I don't expect you to answer any of these questions unless something really sticks out to you that you want to answer.
How many questions are there in this one? Like 15?
Yeah, probably close to that. So here we go.
Turn this off.
A huge parking area, and realize you've forgotten where you parked your car. Ever gone mountain biking? What do you want to be when you grow up? What's the right tip? Have you called a plumber to your home lately? How superstitious are you? How much money would it take to make you spend a night in a cemetery? Would you display this as a trophy? Do you have a pet? Do you have a Sweet Tooth. You believe in the power of a curse?
Have you had your hearing tested lately?
Planning a trip soon? Can you remember the tallest man you've ever seen? Do you love to go a-wandering beneath the clear blue sky? Have you noticed what big stars real estate agents have become? Are you careful with your personal records? Does your computer ever seem to have a mind of its own? Have you ever visited a Chinatown section in a major city? Have you ever visited a flea market? Have you ever visited a truck stop? Do you ever have a job as a waiter? Have you noticed how many successful restaurants are theme-based these days? Have you ever had the desire to write your initials in what's in it?
That really freaked me out. What the fuck was that?
All right, so there was this show, I want to say it was back in like maybe the late 90s, early 2000s. And there was this guy, and he would always introduce like the it was whether the this thing was true or false.
Oh, fact or fiction. The guy from Star Trek.
Yeah, fact or fiction.
Yeah.
And he would ask, he would start off each segment by asking you a question that pertains to the story that was about to be told, like the little reenacted story that they were going to show. And somebody put all those together, and obviously somebody found this and decided that that was going to be their question that they asked this week for Andy. So,
well, I can't say if that was a waste of a question or not, because that was a lot of different things put together for that, first off.
I don't even remember most of them at this point.
The only one that I heard that I think I can accurately answer was... did I ever write my initials in wet cement? And yes, I did. 2000 at my grandfather's house years ago. But
okay,
that is it.
I remembered one. Is have you been a waiter?
Have you been a waiter? I have never been a waiter, but I have been waiting on waiters before.
Can you accurately remember the tallest man you've ever met?
yes, actually I do. It was oh man, I can't think of the date, but it was one of those videos that went around where it's like, this is the tallest kid in recorded history or something like that. And the face of the guy just looked like really compressed. And he was like 7 feet, 8 feet tall or whatever. I didn't get a chance to meet him, but I saw him. He was a basketball player practicing at Spire. So that is the tallest person I could think I actually remember seeing.
All right. And that's going to do it for voicemails.
Alrighty.
All right. So Andy, now's the time we get to go and do our plugs. So
oh boy,
feel free to plug away and give us everything you got.
The only plug that I can think of would be for, and I'm assuming that you guys probably talked about it earlier when you were running down some of the shows that I heard as I was getting added to the call, to the podcast. But obviously we have a show coming up this Friday night, AIW performing at Temple Live, Tougher Than Leather. We've got the returns of Effie and Danhausen, the debut of Microman. We have Alec Price taking on Isaiah Bronner for the AIW Absolute title. Jason Bain is back, teaming with Josh Prohibition against Tyler Jordan and Joshua Bishop. The Scramble, the six-man Scramble that we would have had for the show just got announced, and Microman is involved. Tom Lawler's in it. Dr. Dan, Daniel C. Rockingham, Mikey Montgomery got put in it. Sam Hardway Holloway, I believe, is also in it. But, it's going to kill me if I don't remember the sixth person that's in that. And just a handful of other matches that have been scheduled for the show as well. There's also another show coming up on Saturday that I will be attending. Ohio Championship Wrestling is back. They are going through the rebirth, and they have their champions fighting. They have some debuts for the promotion that are coming up, and then some returns as well, like the teams of the winners, Lord Thomas the Brute, Jake Ely, and a handful of other wrestlers that have been OCW staples. Other than that, personally, follow me on Instagram at CoolAZZAndy. I post things that I think are cool, whether it's whatever I'm having for dinner that night or something that I just got off of Amazon. And then my personal Twitter, which is my name, first name dot last name. And that's where I usually post more of my guitar covers. Those are songs that I post. Again, nothing really special there, but just things that I want to plug. On Twitter or X, I also go by CoolAZZAndy. That's where I promote the shows. That's where I interact with fans. Feel free to contact me, hang out with me there if anybody has any questions for me or anything like that. Other than that, that's all that I got. Thank you very much for having me. This has been fun.
Thank you so much for coming on, man. I'm glad that we were able to get you on. And I actually, we moved you up a couple weeks even, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate it. We wanted to get you in with the Fresh Meat class, but you know, unfortunately, timing and things happen. So, but thank you for joining us. Hang in there while we finish up our plugs. Jayhawk,
follow me on Twitter, Twitch, and TikTok at RefJayhawk, Instagram at Jayhawk1539. Finally got Final Fantasy VII Rebirth done on the Twitch stream. I'm focusing on WWE 2K24 now. Okay, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, great game. I wish I would have played on Iggy for that final boss fight, but fuck that final boss fight.
I'm not okay. That's not much spoiler. Never mind.
That's not a spoiler.
All you have to do is put it on easy and sit back and enjoy the story. It is.
Also, this coming Saturday, I will be refereeing for Real Action Pro Wrestling at the Ohio Urban Renaissance Center in Youngstown, Ohio. It is the third annual Eli Thomas Memorial Tag Team Tournament. 6 o'clock bell time, so come check that out if you're in the area.
All right, and you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, and SoundCloud at EGirlFanboyBoy, spelled B-O-I. Sapphic Knight set list dropping, I don't know, hopefully this week. Whenever I get the time to do it. I don't know, probably, there's probably going to be a new pop pack soon. I got a schedule and all that stuff.
Oh, I can't wait to do it with you, Mars, one day. I'm never invited on, but I can't wait.
Charlie_Butters on the Twitter and Instagram. Big announcements, big crazy things coming next month. Still nothing this month that I really can talk about just yet. So
sweet. Well, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JGold12. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to us, and our Twitter handle, IWGuide1. The YouTube page, patreon.com/IWGuide. Check it out. Come on, you get the show dropping a day early. You get all the extras that we're trying to put together. Come on and join. You also can come into the Discord anytime you like. Our Discord's open for everybody, so come in and discuss. Don't forget about our merch store over at Bamebuster Tees. Don't forget our merch over with Gorilla Press Apparel. Our podcast friends, At Odds with Wrestling, The Card Is Going to Change, the Super Fantastic Podcast, Short Bus Social Club, Marks with Mikes, and hopefully, or one day, Mars?
Hayabusa, a wrestling adjacent podcast.
We may get one, we may not, who knows. Our other friends, JCP Designs, the official graphic designer of the Indie Wrestling Guide, pwponderings.com, Time Capsule Toys, Toy Ohio, Rubber City Toys, Big Starks Brand, Septab Photo, Women's Wrestling Watch of Northeast Ohio, Michelle Carter, Jose Rodriguez Photography, AJ Small Photography, Stash Pages, Gorilla Press Apparel, Angry Lemonade, and Smokin' Jay's Barbecue, the best barbecue in Ohio. What do we got? Medical advice.
I don't have any medical advice this week, but I do have a quote for us.
From don't put a red hot in your pee hole.
From the great Chuck Taylor. I'll never love my own children as much as a luchador loves doing a Canadian destroyer.
Wow.
Wow. Fantastic.
Watch some indie wrestling, folks.
See y'all.
Later.
Bye.
Later, dweebs.
Goodbye.